Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, beautiful humans. Welcome to episode 17 of Croversation. It does seem that I start a lot of my podcast episodes off with an apology, and this one is no different. I apologize sincerely for missing my episode completely, the last episode. Obviously, this is a fortnightly podcast, and I missed an episode, so you've been 4 weeks without an episode, so thank you so much for sticking with me through that. I had a lot of shit going on. I'm a human being. I don't really know what else to say, but super grateful for all of your continued support. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope I make up for it with this week's episode. It is an amazing episode. It's with a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful woman who I've known for quite a while now. We've always seemed to be on the opposite sides of the world, which I guess happens when you're a performer. But we actually managed to sit down in a room for the best part of an hour and have a bloody good chat. She is so, so, so fucking interesting. She's a performer like myself and travels the world, and she's had some quite interesting things happen to her. I'll let you just listen and find out what. It's you'll never guess. Like, you'll literally never guess. It is so interesting. And that was the reason I approached her for my podcast. However, when I started speaking to her, she flagged up that she is an absolute mental health advocate like myself. So we delved quite deeply into that. Very, very interesting. Very, very uplifting. I learned a hell of a lot from this girl. She really, really inspired me. You know, I came away feeling so freaking inspired. I know she was quite nervous about talking about some of the things that we discuss, but I just want her to know that she didn't need to be nervous at all, and it really moved me, and I think it's going to move a lot of you too, because I know you guys feel the same way about mental health as we do. You're going to freaking love it. So this lovely lady that I have on episode 17 of Croversation is the gorgeous Katrina Darling. She really is a fucking darling. You're going to love her. Check out her Instagram. She has such a unique look, and she's an absolute fucking queen. I know I say that about everyone. It is also true about everyone, but this girl is literally almost royalty, and you will see why when we chat about it. But yeah, this week's episode, very heavy on mental health, which is another thing I'd like to touch on before we begin. I have begun fundraising for the charity Mind. If you've never heard of Mind before, they are a mental health charity. They have services that you can access if you are struggling with mental health problems. They also campaign globally, I think, possibly globally, definitely within the UK, for just general awareness about mental health conditions, etc. And I think they're a fucking diamond of a charity to raise money for. I don't know if they get anything from the government, so it's really important that we support them in every way we can. I'm fundraising for this because I am doing something that I agreed to, and I'm not sure I should have, but I've agreed to it now, so I've got to do it. And that is Tough Mudder, which is an obstacle course through lots of mud. Yeah, I'll let you guys research that for yourselves if you want to see how much of a fool I'm about to make of myself. But if you'd like to donate for my cause, please do. I don't want to be doing this in vain. You can go to uk.virginmoneygiving.com rebeccacrowuk. I'll leave the link here. Obviously, if you're listening on Acast, you can click through all the links and get straight through that way. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, just jam that into Google. Also, if you check out any of my social media at the moment, you'll find the link to the Just Giving or the Virgin Money Giving page. Thank you so much to everyone that's already donated. I'm halfway to my target almost, and it's the best feeling. I can't wait to just give back to such an amazing charity. Oh, makes me feel all alive on the inside, not my usual dead inside. So let's crack on with this episode, shall we? As usual, if you would like to find me online, you can find me at Cats and Crows, KatsAndCrows. If you're listening on Acast, thank you so much, and please take full advantage of the click-through links. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then if you wouldn't mind leaving me a little 5-star review, and then also a written review as well, if you've got the time. All this does is help Crowvestation become more accessible and viewable to everyone, and that's how we spread our good word, really. So thank you if you've done that. If you haven't already and you've got the time, please do. I will love you forever. All right, beautiful human beings, let's get cracking on episode number 17 with the gorgeous Katrina Darling. This is Crowvestation.
When I was growing up, all my role models were male. I didn't see anyone I could relate to in the press, online, anywhere. Now, I'm surrounded with the most phenomenal women. They've each endured unique hardships and survived. More than survived, they thrive. But still, women are not equal in the world, not represented in the media, not treated equally online, and still subjected to sexism in everyday life. Alternative women especially are more a hashtag than they are real humans. I want to change that. I want you to see the women I see. I want you to hear them. This is Crowvestation.
Hey, beautiful humans. So sorry again for me missing my episode the last 2 weeks. I've had a bit of a crazy life, but I'm back on it now. And I've got a very, very fabulous guest for you this week. She is a fucking queen. I met this girl a few years ago through working in nightclubs with her. She's a performer like myself, although she is far more glamorous than me. And I think you're going to like her. She's got an incredibly interesting brain and an incredibly interesting life. So please welcome Katrina Darling.
Hey.
Hey girl, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, how's it? It's a chill day for once.
It's nice, isn't it? It's nice weather.
No work tonight, no shows this evening.
Have you got any work this weekend?
Yeah, I have. I'm in the West End all weekend, as usual. I was meant to be in Russia this weekend, but unfortunately I had issues with visa and stuff, because you have to hand your passport over and things like that.
Oh, so really?
For a few days, and, like, biometrics, and then, like, bank statements, and I had shows out of the country as well before then, so I needed my passport with me.
I had no idea. I've never been to Russia.
Yeah, man, it's intense. I've not been before either.
Really?
I would really have liked to go, because it's my birthday on Monday as well.
Is it?
Yeah, so it's just like, oh, that would have been awesome to be, like, in Moscow over my birthday weekend, but
oh,
London will have me instead.
We'll be happy to have you, babes. You travel a lot, though, don't you, for your job? Similar to me.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm away at least, I don't know, 4 or 5 times a month.
Really?
Yeah, which, like, can get pretty intense when you're, like, leaving a show on a Thursday evening at 3 a.m, going straight to the airport, getting there, barely sleeping all day, going for a meal to make sure, because you have to eat, that's important.
Yeah, fitting food in when you can.
And then you get ready and you do the show, and then that lasts until silly o'clock in the morning. And then by that time, you've got back to the hotel, packed your suitcase, pretty much got an hour or so before you're back at the airport. Then you hit London, I'll nap for a couple of hours, and then you've got early shows on the Friday, and the Saturday, and then the Friday.
People wonder why we go a little bit crazy, don't they?
Yeah, so I become a bit nocturnal, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's nice to see the sun. It's there when I get up, it's there when I go to bed. Thank God for the sun.
It's actually the longest day today, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the summer solstice.
It is, actually. Yeah, I've got some stuff to do this evening, then.
Yeah? Do some witchy, crystally stuff?
Well, it was super moon last Wednesday.
Oh, was it?
So I'm just completing a few things that were put out into the universe.
Oh, I love that. Is that something that you really find helps you in, like, kind of keeping yourself sane?
Yeah, in a way. I kind of stepped away from it for quite a while. It was something I was really, really interested in, like, growing up and things like that. But it just sort of came back to me. And I think it's kind of like any type of religion. What if you believe in sort of like the secret or anything like that, or the universe or the power of karma or anything, I think no matter what ritual, whether it's a Catholic ritual or a Hindu ritual in a church, wherever you're putting your intention is a form of prayer and a form of energy. And I think just putting it down, whether even that's just journaling,
writing it down,
like, that's just so helpful. I just do it to almost like put myself in a position where I'm accountable for making what I want to happen.
I like
that.
Which
is really good.
Yeah. Kind of like envisioning it and making it materialise.
Yeah. If I took the time to sit down and focus on what I want and meditate on it, then why am I wasting my time doing that if I'm not going to follow through?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like that.
Yeah.
No, cool. I find in our industry, it's quite easy to get swept up in it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, people, I guess it is quite glamorous to a way.
It is. But you get so wrapped up in life and the doing it that you don't step back and think, well, where is this going? Where do I want to be?
Yeah.
Like, what am I getting out of this? What's making me happy? Do I need to, like, just check in with myself and see if we're heading in the right direction or veering off a bit, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that's helped you in your career so far?
Yeah, I do. I don't do it as often as I should. This has, like, been very much, over the past couple of months, like, come on, Katrina, you've got this, because everybody has their ups and downs of mental health and things like that. So I think I just got to a point where I was like, I'm getting my confidence back a bit more, I'm getting my sass back, and I'm...
Yes, queen.
Yes, I'm feeling it, I'm feeling powerful, and I'm ready to, like, put myself out into the world.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you've been a performer how long?
Oh, God, like, nearly 10 years.
Really?
But actually, no, it will be 10 years, because I auditioned a few weeks before my 18th birthday for a local burlesque troupe.
Fab.
And then performed 2 weeks after my 18th birthday.
That's so freaking cool. And that's back in your hometown.
No legal shows around here. Anyway. So, I'm 28 on Monday. So, yeah, 10 years.
Girl, you're killing it. And you started up north?
Yeah.
Where are you from originally?
So I'm originally from Sunderland, and I grew up there, and I was really into the alternative metal scene. Like, I was bar hopping at 14, 15.
Of course. I mean, that's how you're
all the
teenage,
blast beats nights. Like, it was me and a bunch of, like, 20-year-old sweaty men in the pit, just me being launched about, basically. You know when you go to festivals and you see those beach balls just being, like, chucked around in amongst the piss bottles in the crowd? That's me.
That's me too. Just small white people being like, okay.
Yeah, so I used to play in bands and stuff as well.
I did.
I sang. I used to play the drums a bit as well.
Fab. Is that how you kind of found your creative performance yourself?
Yeah. I think I'd always, from a kid, I was always like in the school choir and doing solos and things like that. We were a bit geeky and I was projector girl.
Oh, like, I was, like, you've done it all.
Yeah, I was into it. But I just really like expressing myself, whether that's through making costume, dancing, singing, gardening, growing things, like painting. Like, I need to be doing things with my hands and, like, getting it all out.
Yeah. No, I think it's really healthy. So you started your burlesque at 18.
Yeah.
And then you performed just locally?
Yeah, so it was at, it's not called that anymore, but it was a pub called The Borough in Sunderland.
Oh, wicked.
I shit you not, the stage was milk crates with MDF on
top. Nah.
And it was a guy who went by Duke DeMilo that organised this.
Of course he did.
Yeah, I actually give him his name.
Really? Go on.
Cute.
Tell me a story.
Because he had a dog called Milo, so he wanted to incorporate that into his name. And he's like, Duke something, blah, blah, blah. So like, Duke DeMilo, there you go. So anyway.
Fancy.
That was actually just before the show, I think, as well. And I did a few shows with those guys, and then... I don't know, I just got a bit I don't like structure. I'm really bad with structure. So I was 18, I was flaky, and I just sort of was more into doing my own thing as well and creating more stuff. But I had a really good time, and I'm still in touch with them all, and they're amazing people. They still do shows up north.
Really?
As well, yeah.
Do you ever go back and visit?
Yeah, I go back a couple of times a year. I've got like a niece and nephew that I like to see. But yeah, and my friends. So
you still got like quite a good route up there up north.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wasn't particularly popular, but there are like a few individual diamonds up there that like, I keep in my life.
That's wicked. So how did you get from performing on Milk Crates and MDF to working in the West End? How did that translate?
Oh, bloody hell. It's a bit, it was a nice mosey up the hill in a scenic path, and then it just sort of like roller coastered really crazily. So I was performing like small local burlesque cabaret shows and things like that, and a few corporate events in the northeast. And alongside that, I was obviously doing promo shoots and things like that to promote my burlesque. I wasn't particularly interested in modelling, but then alternative clothing companies would be getting in touch and asking me to send products to shoot. So that sort of snowballed.
Yeah.
Just, you know, the power of the internet really put me in a good position to be able to do that. And I think as well, for me, the scene in the northeast, aside from this collective, was actually really, really vicious to me. And I had such a bad experience with bullying when I first started performing that I kind of just wanted to do anything outside of the northeast.
Yeah.
And I found a really like great collective of people in Scotland as well, in Edinburgh and Glasgow. There are some amazing warm-hearted performers that I learned so much from.
Amazing.
So that was really nice to go and to be able to find my tribe up there outside of the territorial northeast.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame, but you know,
what would you say to anyone, they're like getting into performing now and they have the same experience, what would you say to them?
I think, well, I'm a lot older now, and the people that were doing that were actually older than me at the time. And
how immature.
Yeah, well, it is. But, I mean, we've all been there. I mean, probably not to that degree, but we've all said something shitty about a girl that we've been a bit petty jealous about.
Of course.
I mean, they went out for me a bit, but, like, we've all been fucking misguided and, like, quite cruel due to our own insecurities and not knowing our own place in the world.
Completely.
So I'm not going to hold on to that, because
I think
it's not really on me.
No.
I kind of feel bad that obviously they felt insecure in their place and they wanted their shows, and you know, it just, I could see what was going on, but it just wasn't the place to be like, so hey, how about we have this conversation, because it just wasn't,
it wouldn't have helped. And you've got to think about yourself as well, like,
yeah, you've got to look after your own mental.
Completely. So you went to Glasgow, and then you came out to London, and you started working in the West End.
Well, I came down to London after I'd been performing and doing these shows, and I had a few different acts that I did. So I did, like, fan dances and things like that.
So classic. You're so fabulous. Burlesque,
which is gorgeous, but I like a bit more, like, a bit more grit.
And yeah.
So in pictures and stills, my performance looks very classic and tasteful, but hopefully with how I present myself on stage and how I come across and how I deliver is very different to what you would actually see a tasteful. It is tasteful, but
classic.
It's less prim and proper. It's a bit more me, you know.
I love that.
So where was I, man? I'm tangenting.
Came down to London, West End.
No, I'm still lost.
Well, let's get back onto the gritty thing, because I really love the idea that, obviously, classic burlesque, a lot of people do. I don't do it. I do kind of, like, more freaky burlesque. I do a lot of freak show. And I think that comes from kind of my experience, like, growing up and stuff, and my friends and stuff. Like, I've always been a bit weird, a bit quirky, and I always like the shock factor.
Yeah.
Do you think your kind of like experience in life has led to you being a bit more gritty on stage?
Fuck yeah, I've always been the freak in the room.
Yeah.
Like, whether it's been at home with my family, I've always been the outspoken, unable to understand why everything's going on the way it is kind of a person who beats to their own drum.
Yeah.
So
perfect.
Yeah, that's like that's my favorite kind of performance, and I wish I was braver in doing more of that as well, because I think sometimes it is very easy to be very mainstream.
Of course, it's where the money is. You've got to make money.
Well, yeah, of course. You know, everyone's got to eat. And I'm very fortunate that I can do that work. Because although I'm very, actually quite heavily tattooed, I've managed to position them in ways that can be hidden as well. But yeah, I think that's actually where the heart and soul of it's at.
Yeah.
Because when you go to a corporate environment, you go to a West End club, that's a sanitized version.
Yes.
It's sanitized sex. It's sanitizing it's like women's bodies. You know what I mean?
Which absolutely. Is, like mannequins.
Yeah, and I think as well that actually in the alternative circles, that's what makes me anxious is because, I mean, I even saw a performer today posting saying that they won't perform on stages that have all under 30s, white, cisgendered, fucking normal.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a size 8, I have a tiny waist, I have, like, bits where they are.
Yeah.
I grew into this body, and there's nothing I can do in that about that. But yeah. Also, you're reading me as a closed book.
That's very true.
And I think that we just have to deal with people on an individual basis.
Yeah, I think it's...
Because I feel very ostracized from that, because people look at me and I do get that nastiness as well, where it's like, well, she's a skinny girl, what the fuck's she doing here?
Yeah, you know, as if you haven't experienced anything in your life.
Yeah, like, if you want to see her, she's fucking everywhere.
Yeah,
you know?
But you've got something extra. Yeah. Because everybody has, I mean, everybody has something different about them, don't
everyone's
they?
Everyone's got their own charisma.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I like that girl.
You've got to buy into personalities, not into fucking, are you black, are you trans, are you this, like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
It shouldn't matter.
What those things are, it's what you bring to the table and completely. How you deliver.
You can still be a horrible person regardless of what you like, you can be a glorious, wonderful person and look completely normal.
You're all still egos, everybody's still an ego.
You know the girl. The reason I bring up the personality thing is, obviously you're a performer, you've been performing a long time, and people probably don't know this about you. But you have bipolar disorder.
Yeah. Yeah, I got diagnosed with that a few years ago. Which is something that's pretty much been a part of my life since, I mean, like 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
I've always had that almost perspex window in front of me, just being like, I'm not, no, you don't get it. Like.
Yeah, we don't see that.
Yeah, so it's always been something that I've struggled with and is... held me back a lot, but also has been some, I don't want to like glorify or glamorize it, because you have cases like Robin Williams committing suicide and things like that, and people say, oh well, he wouldn't be so wonderfully talented if he wasn't so mentally tortured, which is fucking bullshit.
It's not good. It's not good for anything, for anyone.
And it's like, I feel fortunate that I have the ability to be artistic, to get that out of me. But it also comes with other pressures and other things that aren't conceivable to people who have normal jobs. Yeah. And I mean, I do have normal realities that everybody else has, but...
Of course, you got rent, you got bills.
It's a different lane, you know?
Completely.
It's a completely different ride. And bipolar for me meant a lot of not being able... Starting things and not being able to finish them.
Right.
Which was the most disappointing and, like, self-confidence-crushing thing about it, because... I'd go into manic phases of being able to do amazing things and really overachieve and push myself beyond, and then comes the crash.
Mm.
And you've got to deal with that, and that means maybe weeks not getting out of bed, you know, rapid cycling thoughts, and like you said, when you've got to make money and you've got to function in society, it's very difficult to manage being.
Yeah. Society isn't constructed for somebody who can't just be kind of like on a level all the time.
Yeah, no. You know? And everybody has ebbs and flows, and being depressive and feeling depressive isn't the same as depression.
Absolutely. It's totally different. How? Yeah. What would you say to people who think that possibly bipolar and depression are similar, if not the same thing?
Well, bipolar is a mental condition, whereas depression is a symptom of that condition. So things like depression and anxiety are usually your body's way of telling you that something's not going on right upstairs. In terms of, is that your environment? Is it things that are happening in your life that are triggering these things? Because for me, that's usually the best way that I manage my symptoms, is by looking at my environment. Because you can take all of the medication in the world, and for some people it works great, and that's what works for them. But still, it's a crutch. it's something that you can lean on to be able to cope, but you've still got, you can't be on medication for the rest of your life. It's going to damage your liver.
Completely.
It's the hardest.
They're just not, they're not the best at learning at all, are they?
It's not the most well-researched area of medicine. We've known nothing about the brain. I mean,
it's kind of embarrassing how little we know.
How little we know about female anatomy in today.
Exactly.
So let's not even get into what's going on psychologically. Yeah, so honestly, just knowing yourself, knowing what triggers you, what sets you off, what keeps you calm, like, yeah, just checking in your environment, what's going on, do what's good for you.
What would you say to Katrina 10 years ago on regards to your mental health?
Katrina 10 years ago was probably not very aware of her mental health. I mean, she was aware.
I feel like it wasn't
just
in the public eye as
much,
was
it?
Yeah.
I think I just was in complete denial of a lot of what had gone on in my past. And at 18, you're not a fully formed human.
Nope.
You're creating a personality. You're just coming into yourself and you're creating this personality of who you think you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't be told nothing. And
oh my God, I thought I knew everything.
Mate, I was going out and I was a party girl and I had a lot of pain to escape.
Yep.
So I was out there having the time of my life, but it was so damaging at the same time. Because
yeah.
It was self-sabotage at the end of the day.
Of course.
And now I know a lot better. I'm not doing naughty things and, you know, I'm not putting myself in positions where I'm going to make life harder for myself.
That's good.
Because I care about myself a lot more.
Do you find you love yourself now? Or are you still working on that?
Oh, it's an everyday struggle.
Yeah.
But I'm getting better at gently nudging myself and being like, come on, like, don't be like that. You know, because I have, especially with bipolar and these manic episodes of, like, really overachieving, you have this concept of, I can actually fucking do this and I proved it and it can actually happen. So the frustration of being able to soar those heights, but being weighed right down,
so heavy.
Physically where my bones feel like lead and I can't get out of bed, is, oh, it's heartbreaking. You feel sorry for yourself.
Yeah.
You, like, mourn yourself, you know what
yeah.
I mean?
You must have, like, quite a, I don't want to say warped sense of self, but, like, just kind of, I would feel confused seeing myself do this and then not recognizing the person.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, like, forget that, like, you have to learn to self-soothe.
Yeah.
And you have to learn to speak to yourself with kindness, because the world is a fucking nasty
yeah.
place.
Yeah. Do you think you've been better at being nice to yourself?
Yeah, completely. Because, especially in our field, and I'm in the media a lot, and I've done a lot of, like, covers and things like that, and I mean, I've been called God knows what in God knows how many languages, in God knows how many comment sections that nobody should
Christ.
Ever be fucking reading.
No.
Not read the comment section.
I can second that.
Ever. As RuPaul says, if those bitches ain't paying your bills, pay them no mind.
Yes, queen.
I tell you. Because it does nothing but reaffirm this negative narrative that you're
yeah.
telling yourself in your head. And you need to tell yourself a better story, because if you keep telling yourself these awful stories about yourself, that's what's going to come true.
Of course.
Even going back to what I was saying before about your intention and how you use that, if you're constantly thinking about bad shit about yourself,
yeah.
you're going to fucking bring bad shit into your life.
Of course.
And it's so hard to be like, oh yeah, just think great happy thoughts and we'll fly off to the sun. You know,
if only.
That's not sensible. But if you catch yourself
yeah.
being a bitch to yourself or being too harsh on yourself, just take a moment, take a breath, step back and just change the language.
Yeah.
Change the language that you use with yourself.
I've learned that really recently,
so if you say
yeah.
something negative, go, oh, why do I think that negatively? Is it because I'm disappointed that I didn't do that? Or is that because somebody else is getting that and I don't feel like I'm getting that? And is that because I don't feel like I'm worth it?
Yeah.
And there's a difference between jealousy and envy.
Uh-huh.
Envy is healthy. Envy
okay.
motivates you. If you see somebody doing really well and you're like, God, that looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to do that. Like,
do you think it drives you?
Yeah, that's driving you. But when you get into, how come she's getting that?
Mm.
Why is he off doing that? you know,
yeah,
why am I stuck here doing this? I should be doing... That doesn't get you nowhere.
No, that's not going to motivate you to do anything. That doesn't add anything to your life.
No.
I think that's really interesting. I've never thought about it that way. I've always thought about the language we tell ourselves. I've learned it quite recently. And I always think about it like, if you eat junk food, your body is going to fucking hate on you. So if eat junk thoughts, your brain's going to hate on you.
Yeah, and we're bombarded with it every second of every day.
Yeah.
Everyone's got a fucking smartphone. Everyone's watching stuff. You can't get the tube without having at least 100 adverts in your face.
Absolutely.
Like, it's just everywhere. And even in society, the way people look at each other, the way people present themselves in dress, it's a complete assault, and it's very hard to connect with your inner being and what you're about and what's important to you and what you put value on.
Yeah, I think it's true. I find it as well. I think you're completely right about our industry is particularly hard, having such a focus on our appearance and social media. Like, I beat myself up if I don't post a good post on social media or if my post doesn't do well. But it is something that you've really got to learn to kind of step away from, especially if you want to be successful in this industry.
Yeah, man. I mean, I recently, like, just took some pictures with a neighbour of mine. He's an amazing photographer of V's Anchor Studio, Veronica Marks. She's outstanding. I just posted one this morning, and because I posted it the wrong time.
Because
my Wi-Fi was in and out, and it fucking posted. It's not got as many hits, which is really disappointing to me in a way that this is really good art, and I'm really proud of this work, and I'm upset that algorithms are fucking with me, and I've probably got a shadow ban. So nobody's getting to, like, see this, because I want to be like, hey, look at this.
I want to give this to the world.
These cool women making cool shit.
Yeah. You know? Was that the one with you wearing the gold shoes? The one that you just posted? Did I see that?
Yeah, they were yellow Jeffrey Campbell sandals.
Were they the yellow? Yeah. Oh, they were gorgeous.
Yeah, we just shot them in my flat, in my bedroom, and it was nice. It's a nice day, because I haven't done it in a while. I've actually stayed away from doing shoots.
Really?
I think after being in the press and the media a lot, like, I got very disconnected from my sense of self and found that, like, doing photo shoots, because you shoot all the time, I'm sure there's days where you, like...
Oh, my God, I was getting more and more in the way that I just don't want to.
And you're, like, your body's your tool, and you're putting a piece of yourself out there constantly. And
I think art does take away from you.
I didn't have any more spoons to give. I had, like, zero spoons. Like, performing is, like, tiring me enough, and I know I need new content and things like that, because... Everything changes, job offers changes, you need different styles of things for different opportunities.
You've got to stay fluid.
Yeah, you've got to stay relevant, kids. I'm 28, so there's all of these cute young girls coming in. I'm like...
And they're great, and they're killing it.
I can't just be a cute young thing anymore and, like, rely on my personality. But thank fuck, we have one. Like, I just want people to see it.
Yeah.
And it does get you down.
It does. Especially, like I said, artwork, it takes a bit away from you. Like, I think to create truly amazing art, you put a piece of you in it. And then when people don't see it, it's fucking stupid, man. Like, we need a social media platform that's for artists, so it doesn't rely on hits or whatever.
Do you not think it's funny that a form of magic is known as expression?
Yeah.
Which is... what we do, we express ourselves.
Yeah, that's true. God.
Yeah.
It's hard, isn't it?
You know, that's how I find language interesting like that.
Yeah, I really enjoy your kind of comparison of envy and jealousy. I think that's one of my favourite things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, it's a good analogy for, like, switching up your viewpoint.
Yeah.
Your viewpoint can always change.
Complete perspective, it's all about perspective. Yeah. I feel you.
Yeah.
So let's go back into
sidetracked.
No, sidetracking is good. You have such a bloody fascinating life. You really do. I just want to talk to you all day. But let's get back on.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection.
Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
To your mental health kind of journey.
Yeah.
How did you first realize, I know you said it was around 6 or 7, what made you first click, I'm different to everyone else?
Just the way I interacted with the kids, the way they didn't get me, the way I didn't overreact in public, but I was a very, very sensitive kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like hold that in and
really?
Be like, and I came from a household of 4 kids that was very busy, very loud. So I just always bottled everything up. And
yeah.
Then I got to an age where I like went to secondary school and started seeing kids outside of my primary school environment, junior school environment.
Yeah.
I found like the goth kid, and me and her were like best friends, and we hung out, we stopped going out, going to parties and things. And I think just through my interaction with the people and finding that tribe, I became aware of like other kids that had issues.
Right.
So I dated a guy, like my first boyfriend, he came from a really like harsh background, and it was obvious it was really difficult for him, and he used to cut himself, and I didn't do that personally. I mean, I had other ways of dealing with my own trauma. I was very bad at eating,
mm-hmm.
because food was my only control in my life, so it was nothing to do with body image whatsoever.
So you'd say that was an eating disorder?
Completely. And then because I was going off with all these people and not coming home and being a bit of a bloody tearaway, I remember coming home one afternoon when I was meant to be in school from a party the night before, and my parents were taking my little sister in the car to the doctor's because she was off school sick, and I got dragged in the car, sat down in front of the doctor, which was really shameful. Like,
yeah.
I felt extremely shame. And I was
not the way to
like
deal with
14,
it.
15, so I was completely indignant, and my entire rhetorical of the issues that were wrong with me were all my parents' fault.
Yeah.
Which a lot of my environment circumstance massively contributed to it.
Yeah.
And my want to be out of the house and to escape that situation, which wasn't something at the age of 14 you can really resolve.
Absolutely
you
not.
You can't
and
go and get a job and move
too.
Out. I didn't really have extended family members that I was close with that I could go and live with.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I'm just going to have to ride this out. Just
a brave
have to
decision.
Sit with it. Which also led me to staying with partners at young age and being in dysfunctional relationships.
Yeah.
And, I dated a guy before my current boyfriend, who I've been with for 7 years.
Oh, amazing! Didn't know that.
Yeah.
What a
Nathan.
Babe.
Shout out to Nathan James Fox.
Thanks, Nathan.
Legend. So like he was bipolar, and that was triggered from his dad passing away. He was quite young when that happened.
Mm.
And that, being in a relationship with somebody that was very volatile, and we both were, it kind of brought out the worst in me. It was like chucking 2 mad cats in a bag and chucking it into a river.
Mm-hmm.
But through seeing him going through processes of dealing with stuff, because in the past I'd been given things like citalopram from the doctor,
mm-hmm.
I found that they actually made me really unstable and really,
really
happy. And I remember on citalopram, because it's an amphetamine derivative,
mm-hmm.
going into college and physically shaking
really
because of the drugs that were in
of
my
course.
system, and that I couldn't function on.
Yeah,
that. Like,
they give me side effects too. They make me so dizzy.
Yeah,
I get vertigo.
The side effects
it's bizarre.
Are just, I'm just way too sensitive to it, and I've tried numerous different brands of different concoctions, and they just don't work for me.
No,
just managing my expectations,
yeah,
my environment and my diet and my sleep.
Yeah, really, I think that's key. Go back to basics.
Exercise, I'm not so great at, but I do dance a lot.
Yeah, you do. You're quite a physical person.
Yeah. Yeah, so seeing him going through the route of having to see psychiatrists to get diagnosis and things like that,
yeah,
and medications that he was put on, made me more aware of, oh, there is a second path past just getting some, doing your little survey
things from the pill,
week,
yeah.
And here's your top of your pill, do we go up, do we go down?
Yeah.
Because eventually I just stopped taking them.
Of course,
there was
I get
no
bored
level
of
care.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a support system around me, and there was no sense of community, there was no sense of, you know, I didn't have a significant other that was stable in himself to be
yeah.
able to do that either. So I moved into my own place and I lived on my own for a while. And during this time, I've been performing for quite a few years.
Yeah.
So it's probably like 20, so yeah, 2021, so 2-3 years.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this act where I was dressed as a queen.
Amazing.
Tin Sex Pistols, called God Save the
Queen.
Oh
my God, amazing.
And I was actually in Glasgow one day. I had a voicemail from a reporter on my phone, because I woke up the next day after a show in Glasgow at my friend Snooky Mono's house. And I had this voicemail from a reporter saying that I was related to Kate Middleton and they wanted
really?
To talk to me further, that they'd spoken to my parents. And
wow,
like,
invasive
sort of
much?
Shit. Yeah. So basically, I rang my mum straight away and said, like,
what
the fuck is this? Because as well, it was April Fool's.
Oh my God.
So,
you
I was
like,
just like, what
yeah.
the fuck is this bullshit? So that was the craziness of it all. So I rang my mum.
What?
And she was like, she's very simple living, you know, she's always been a housewife, she's not very worldly, bless her, and, you know, these people showed up on her doorstep.
Yes.
Yeah. All of these freelance reporters are trying to do, like, little exposés on, oh, Kate's such a commoner, let's look at a common family
oh.
in the Northeast, and they just expect
how awful.
It to be like Geordie jeans, you know what I mean?
Yeah. What's wrong with that? Oh my God.
Well, I know the guy that she's related to, like, owned a fish and chip shop. So they were doing like little things like that.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
My parents obviously mentioned what my brothers and sisters did and what I did in comparison. Mm. Is a
quite
lot
outlandish.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And if you Googled me, there I am in this fucking Union Jack outfit.
Of course.
With a crown on each titty. And another one hiding my crown jewels.
Oh, yes.
And, I mean, this woman hounded me for weeks. And I'd just been doing local shows, and I was just happy, like, doing these little modelling jobs. Same when you first started out, before you started getting all your
yeah.
Bitcoin and everything, and
just
it's nice,
get
it's
money
exciting, and it's fresh,
yeah.
and you're, like, you're really excited
you
to do all this work, but also, you're, like, 20 years old, you have no taste level.
In it. You're like, okay.
You have no idea how to conduct yourself in public.
Nope. No way.
I have no media training. And, you know,
they will take full advantage
I'm
of you.
I'm also fucking bipolar and undiagnosed.
Oh.
So this is like a bit of a concoction.
Yeah.
Disaster, really.
Oh, babe.
So I basically told this woman, well, my first response was I rang the Royal Press Office and said, look, I've been contacted by this reporter.
I think that's the best thing to do. Well done.
Well, my sister's a teacher.
Okay.
So if that were to interfere with her job, that would break my heart that I wouldn't be able to perform, but I would never want to take away her livelihood or
absolutely.
Have what my choices, you know, affect people negatively
yeah.
because that's just bad karma.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was my first reaction because I didn't really want them to just do something really fucking gory and whack it on page 3. Yeah, so I rang them and they confirmed that yes, we were related. So my dad, his mother, and so my grandmother and Kate's great grandfather were brother and sister, so a second cousin.
Wow.
Yeah, different.
Yeah,
worlds,
no idea.
But
yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
So this woman handed me, and I just really wasn't up for it. I wasn't comfortable. I felt like it was being pushed. I was content in what I was doing. I just thought, I'm going to make a bit of a tit of myself if I do it.
Yeah.
But it became apparent that she was going to run it regardless.
Oh, no.
So I got in contact with a woman called Claudia Joseph, who does a lot of the like autobiographies and things like mm-hmm. that, and a lot of the Times as pieces on the royal family and stuff like right. that. So she's a bit less, you know, quite the star.
Yeah, like. Mirror.
Yeah.
Oh, shocking.
So we wrote a piece and we did a lovely interview and we took some pictures and stuff and tried to really control the narrative. This is just this girl doing yeah. this nice little thing, blah, blah, blah. And then the day before it was meant to go to press, the Daily Mail stole an article that I did for the local paper when I was like 19, rehashed it.
Stop.
Referred to me as the royal family's closest brush with soft porn since Kustark.
What the
and
fuck?
So the worst images of me off my personal Instagram and things like that. They were just like selfies and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, to really paint
like what
me
every
as
girl
like
does.
Some trashy little hoe bag, you know.
Oh, for fuck's sake. The Daily Mail really are
yeah.
something else.
And then obviously with it having to do with the royal family, that kind of went global news.
Yeah.
And I was in like serious business journals and
really?
Things like that, just because that's how the machine works, isn't
of
it?
Of course.
And I have no control over the scenario. But then I also had things like other amazing offers that came through. So I'd already been planning to go to New York to do a show with a guy called Lyle Derrick, who
right.
then went on to become my manager for a short period.
Oh, fab.
He's a really great guy.
Right.
I think he's in Denmark or Amsterdam at the minute, yeah.
Ooh.
I want to go over and see him since we're so
yeah.
close for once because I've not seen him in years.
Yeah,
so basically he got in touch and he had this night and he wanted to get a UK performer over
yeah.
To do this club whip work in progress in
okay.
New York. So
oh, yeah, I think I've heard of it.
We're already planning
yeah.
to do that. So it's Don... Was it Don's? Fucking hell, like... My memory is shot. I've met so many people over the years.
I don't remember anyone's name.
Who's to own it?
Possibly. I could not remember. I could not tell you.
Flowers in here that can correct me. so I was going to plan to go and do that anyway, and then this whole press storm fucking kicked up.
Yeah.
So when I went over there, there were literally paparazzi following me around.
Really? That's so
intrusive.
It was so
intimidating.
Of course.
Because I was like nobody. I'm just like this small girl from the middle of nowhere.
Compared to the royal family, yeah, everybody's nobody, right?
And you just get thrown into the lion's den.
Wow.
And a small conversation on the roof terrace of my hotel room with a guy called Patrick Duffy, who's an amazing man in New York.
Mm.
He asked me if I'd ever do Playboy. And I was like, well, yeah.
Absolutely.
Because at the time I was doing a lot of pin-up modelling and things like that. And I was really into like vintage retro.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like the epitome of what...
Every glamour girl.
Of what you wanted to do. So I was like, yeah, but like as if I'm ever going to get picked. Because at the time as well, I've been quite overwhelmed and unable to deal with all of the craziness that was going on.
I'm sure it's
a
lot of strain on you.
The press circus and not really having anyone around.
Mm.
And I had an actual full-on Britney Spears moment.
Oh, girl.
Shave the head. Sinead O'Connor realness.
Did you?
I actually fucking rocked it because
wow.
I had a tiny little pea head. And my hair was pretty damaged because it was every colour under the sun. And I was just like, that's it.
I'm done
with this.
Wow.
The post of my hair in the sink though, because it was pink at the time with
yeah.
so many likes on Tumblr.
Oh, really?
I thought it was so bad.
Tumblr!
I was so bad on Tumblr.
I love Tumblr. I miss it.
Yeah. So I shaved my head and I remember lying on the sofa, probably like not left it for a couple of days in
yeah.
a really bad place, shaved head. And then this like I was watching E! News or something.
Yeah.
And I was on fucking E! News.
No.
And, like, the contrast of this, like, being on TV.
Yeah.
Like, this felt like a completely separate identity.
Completely depersonalised, yeah.
Yeah. And I felt like I had no agency over myself.
Wow.
Because, obviously, regardless of what I did or didn't do, people were going to be making money off me and paying their rent.
Absolutely.
And selling stories and selling pictures. An ex tried to blackmail me.
Oh my god, stop.
Yeah, I had to get the police involved. It got pretty serious.
Yeah.
So, like, here I am, shaved head, just complete contrast to this, you know...
Thing on TV,
thing on TV, and it's crazy. So I ended up doing Playboy, and I actually wore a wig the entire time.
Did you?
We called her Marge.
Of course.
So they got a hairstylist, Chucky, and he was amazing. I was such a good team that day. I had so much fun. It was a 3D
show. Yeah. I'm looking at your cover right now, displayed on your wall, and it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
You look
It's very
beautiful.
Natural. It's
I
not
love
like,
it.
Say, for instance, another burlesque performer like Dita Von Teese that's been on the covers. Her
yeah.
was very much her brand and her
style. Of course.
Style. But I guess I still feel disconnected from that cover because that was when I was like 20, 21. So when that was happening, I
yeah.
wasn't in a good place. I'm 28 now. I'm like, I know
yeah.
myself. I'm so much more comfortable with myself. And I'm so glad I did Playboy. And I wanted to do it. I
yeah,
loved it. It was
good.
A great experience.
As long as you were in complete control.
I had complete control.
Good.
Even at the end of the shoot, me and Marlena Belinska, the photographer, she was wonderful. She still keeps
in
touch.
A female photographer. Oh, I
yes,
love
I
that.
Got a female fashion photographer. She's
fabulous.
She's fabulous. We sat down at the end and we just deleted every single picture that I wasn't happy with.
Amazing. That's so, so wonderful. That's the way
yeah.
it should be. Because
yeah.
people obviously have this kind of warped view of the glamour industry.
To be honest, I felt more bad for, like, the lighting guys and everything because, you know, it's not an open, like, penthouse shoot.
Yeah.
But obviously, when you're facing the camera, everything's discreetly hidden and neatly placed and curved the way it's meant to be. But from the other angle, where the guy's holding the reflector, it's pretty fucking graphic.
It's, like, right up there.
And, like, after 3 days, I think everybody had just seen enough of me.
Inside and outside.
Yeah. So it was a truly bonding experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I still feel like that person up there is not a happy person.
Yeah. Because it brings you back all these memories.
Yeah. I mean, actually, you know what? I think I'd love to just do it again.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think, what would you change? Just yourself, your thinking?
Just, I don't know. Not even like the aesthetic or the hair or the makeup. It's not even about that.
Yeah.
I had an amazing team. I'd work with exactly the same guys again. Or I'd work with other people. I'm like, more my mind space.
Right.
Because that is what comes across.
Yeah.
And my confidence level. Because
you can
that's
see that.
A lot of pressure for somebody.
Huge.
There was big money on that shoot.
Yeah.
There were people showing up. There were people getting paid. People had flown across the world to London to photograph me.
Wow.
Like, that's important. That's
a lot of pressure.
That's people's livelihoods. And I have to deliver.
Yeah.
So it was intense.
Yeah, I mean, especially
and I was on my
place.
Own the whole time. I didn't have, like, a chaperone or
really?
Anything like that. Same with when I went to New York. I've always been kind of fearless like that. I
yeah, independent.
Chuck myself out there and make myself learn to swim. You've got to.
I think it's good in a way. I'm exactly the same. I moved myself to London alone with no friends and made myself homeless to move to London.
Yeah.
And obviously not homeless in a way that's negatively impacted my life that much, but I think it shapes you.
You got to struggle.
But also...
I mean, the struggle isn't fun.
Yeah, exactly.
But how do you know what you're capable of? Like, even
push
going
yourself.
To the gym... How do you know that you can't lift that massive weight if you don't push yourself and struggle all the way up through the ranks?
Damn
like
right.
You have to
get there.
You gotta flex.
Yeah. It's not... Whenever people look at that cover, they just see kind of the end product, but to you, it's so much more than
that.
Yeah,
that's a deep story. There's like months and months behind
yeah.
that to me, which is
really
different.
How do you feel having such like a big achievement? So I've got things in my life that... I consider huge achievements, but they will always have that negative kind of connotation to it.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Well, you get held to a standard all the time, don't you?
Mm.
And I think a lot of people are actually, because you're your own worst enemy with this, you're holding yourself to that achievement.
Yeah.
And you think, what's next? Right, I got to do that. I got to do better. I got to one-up myself. What am I delivering next? That's not how life works.
Yeah.
Life's up and down. Life's going around through a meadow, getting distracted. That's just not how it is. So
yeah.
you've got to really, like, I don't know, just focus on making it happen.
Yeah. How do you view that whole section of your life now, if you could sum it up?
Ongoing.
Yeah?
Yeah, because
okay.
it's still... Like, I was explaining this to my friend Arabella Drummond the other day, who's another
I love
person.
Her. I haven't
such
seen her in too long.
Support. Like, she's amazing. Shout out to Arabella and Juan.
Yes, Arabella, I miss you, girl.
Yeah, we've actually been talking about doing a podcast.
You should. If you guys need to know anything at all, please contact me.
Yeah.
I can help you in touch with the people who host mine.
Yeah. It's exciting.
I'm so in.
Gotta do it now. Now yeah. I said it. It's out there in the
You've
got to
do it.
I said it.
Commit.
Back. What have I done? So, yeah. I was saying this to Arabella. Like, I feel like when you're a child, you're absorbing everybody else's influence.
Yeah.
When you get to a teenager, and you start processing that and making it into, well, I'm this and I'm that, and you cherry pick what you want to be and how you think you want to be.
Yeah.
But you don't know the world well enough to know how that's going to work in every scenario.
Completely.
You're not going to be that person forever. And then you get to your mid-20s, and you realise this personality that you've cultivated is like a complete derivative of everything that happened to you as a child.
Yes.
And you're like, is this even real? Am I a real person? Is it just all a mask?
I get that all
Who
the time.
Am I? What do I actually want? What does it mean? And then you get to coming up to 30 and you've got to kind of start again and like put all the pieces on the floor and go, right, well, that's not fucking working for me. Scrap that.
Yeah,
I like
can't continue
this. Let's stick that one in the bag and chuck that out.
Yeah.
So I think...
Do you find that helpful?
I think you've got to do it all the time.
Yeah.
With everything. With every aspect. You do it with your wardrobe.
Of course.
You should do it with your head.
Yeah. I think that's good. I think it's a good analogy. Same with the junk food. Don't put junk in your brain.
Yeah.
Make sure your brain's kept healthy, kept fresh, kept current.
Yeah. But I don't think there's anything I could say to, like, my younger self that would change anything.
Yeah.
Because you're never going to get to who you're going to be.
Yeah.
I'm very much into fate as well. And, you know, I'm not a God Christian believer, but God will not send you anything that you can't handle.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't think so. Completely.
That's the saying, isn't it? So, I think, actually, what I'd say is you've got this. Power on through.
Yeah.
It's going to change. Keep thinking what you're thinking about because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's what you've got to focus on.
Right.
Keep dreaming.
Keep dreaming, girl.
Keep dreaming.
Amen.
It's like never-ending story.
Oh!
Like, that. The play things only exist because somebody's dreamt it. This
Damn
microphone
right.
only exists because somebody dreamt it up.
That's
like,
so true.
Dream,
you can do it. You can imagine things. You can dream things. Yeah. Make them real. So where are you right now in your mental health? Right now? Right today?
Right now, today, like I said, the journey's still going, and after I kind of got diagnosed, I think I put it all back in the box for a bit. I was like, okay, I've got the label. The drugs don't work.
Yeah.
I'm just going to have to self-soothe, manage myself as much as I can until I'm at a point where I can feel like I'm stable enough to open the Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Because you have to, you can't just keep it bottled down because it will slowly rear its head back up because, you know, they do. Things don't just go away. And some things will never go away. And sometimes just coming to terms with that and being able to have more helpful techniques to deal with when things don't feel good.
Yeah.
Is what I need. So at the minute, I'm actually going to start going to the doctor, the dreaded doctor.
Have you found a good doctor?
Well, I've got one around the corner, so I'm gonna give the old NHS a go.
Yeah.
See how she fares. I'm still believing. I'm still believing in the NHS. We're so
God bless
strained.
The NHS.
So strained. And I know it's like, it's unhelpful and how frustrating it can be going through the process.
Yeah.
And how frustrated you can get with staff and things like that. Honestly, it's politics.
Yeah.
It's allocation of funds. It's the slow privatisation of the
Hugely.
NHS. Have you seen how crap our railways are now?
Oh my God, it's embarrassing.
I mean...
So embarrassing. I tweet about it a lot.
it's crazy. So we really gotta, like, really gotta respect it. And, like, speak to your MPs and, you know, get out there, hit the streets, be
it's
active.
Important. That's why we're doing what we're doing right now.
Yeah, man.
Spread that word.
You've gotta do it. I've always been a protester outside.
You go to the Trump protest.
With Vivian Westwood in the past and things like that.
Fabulous.
Yeah, I'm going to the Trump protest. I was thinking as well, because me and Arabella were speaking about this the other day, there was that girl, especially with like the Me Too movement and everything happening.
Yeah.
There was a girl in London that got raped by several men on her walk home.
Horrific.
Do you remember hearing that story?
Yeah, I do.
So every man that came over to help her like sexually assaulted her in some way.
Yeah, wasn't it like three in a row or something?
No, it was ridiculous. Yeah. So it's numerous individuals.
Correct.
And nobody's being prosecuted. Nothing's been done about it. So I was talking about with Arabella on the phone, maybe only a couple of days ago, and I was saying, you know what we should do? We should organise a night walk and walk the path that she took.
I would love that.
And
just
like,
got chills.
Get the fucking women on the streets. Take back the night.
We need to get to the streets, man.
And, you know, because this is like, it's getting out of control, and I know there are a lot of men out there that are very confused on how to react and adapt to women these days. And I think as well, in the 90s, there was a lot of girl power, but lots of subliminal misogyny.
Absolutely.
That boys maybe
doesn't
felt
quite get
a
it.
Bit left out because they didn't get as much compassion and empathy. It's like, the important child's being dealt with, right? Sometimes that does happen. And I think that a lot of guys, if women aren't telling you you're being creepy, like if no woman's ever not told you that, you're probably doing okay. Like,
you're probably doing fine, right? Don't beat yourself up about it too much.
Yeah.
It's not going to help
but
either.
But there are a lot of things that you could probably do better on, even if that's just like not laughing at a shitty joke about women.
Calling out your friends.
Yeah.
Support your friends as well. Like, call out men, support women, be allies.
Like, make sure, like, if you can walk a girl home, walk her home. Don't be pervy about it. Or just say, call me when you get home, make sure you say.
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah, there's so many easier ways to do it.
Women do this. Women have, like, phone networks.
We
like,
literally
we
do.
We actually have to create phone networks and text trees for, like,
so keep a track on each other.
Safe,
yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, like, men get affected by misogyny just as much as women do, and it's not helpful, and it's, I think, the far feminist movement's fucking crazy as well.
Yeah. Everyone's getting very extreme nowadays.
Everyone's very pent up, and a lot of people are getting a lot of attention in the media that are on the extremes of things, and it leaves the people in the middle that probably are doing quite well.
Yeah.
And probably
but they don't get the press.
These people that they don't know where they fit and how they're meant to react in society and how to act on what's being said.
Yeah.
So I think it's more just about being a compassionate human on a base level.
Completely.
Whether
with
you're
everything.
A man, you're a woman, you're trans, gay, straight, whatever. Like, just treat people as fucking human beings. Like, that's the bare minimum you have to do to survive life.
Isn't it? It's not hard.
No.
We're a human being. Treat someone as you would wish to be treated.
Yeah. So where were we before I got
I love that. That is a good bombshell.
So I'm going to go to the doctor.
Yes.
That was it.
Go.
I'm going to go to the doctor and I'm going to request CBT. So maybe that's something that I can kind of keep you guys updated with.
I would love that.
With the process as well and how
I think people would find that really interesting. Yeah.
Because I know wait lists can be long.
Hugely.
So, you know, I'm not expecting anything to be a swift turnaround. Things like mental health, they take work. Sometimes you have to take a step back.
Yeah.
You've gone too deep and you need to just process as much as you've taken on. And you can come back to it in a year, 2 years, 10 years later, whenever you're ready to do that. But it's helpful. It is.
It is.
That's where I'm going to go. That's
going
to be my nice little journey.
Have you ever considered doing like vlogging or anything like that?
I have. Do
your journey.
But I'm like terrified of being in front of Pardon me. I'm talking too much. I'm taking an air. I'm actually a super self-conscious person.
Yeah.
I think it's well because of my accent.
Really?
It's a bit mismatched. You have a mismatched accent.
I have a weird, freaky mashup accent, mate.
If I'm up north, everyone thinks I sound like a posh twat.
Is it?
Yeah.
Stop.
But down here, everybody thinks that I sound like, I don't know.
It's certain words, they change, like, depending on where you've kind of, like, used the word the most. Like, I say, like, trash and stuff like that. And,
it's
and then
weird. And because I pronounce vowels differently.
Yeah, I'm the Bath grass girl, but I'm southern born and bred, and I don't know. I don't
Bath
know where I come from.
Correct.
Is it?
Correct.
Is it correct?
English. The queen does not say Bath.
She does not.
No.
And it's ma'am, not ma'am. Ma'am like ham,
not
mom like farm.
That's the one.
So you got it right, girl.
So I get a little bit insecure about that. And I suppose it's different to being on stage where I have a controlled environment.
Yeah.
And we do have a controlled environment, but I don't want to, like,
it's the people's
be
reaction,
unreal
okay.
with it. I want to be very candid with it and honest, but also
I think it's important.
I'm only getting to know that vulnerability and being comfortable.
Right,
showing
you can't let
that
interrupt your journey.
Well.
Yeah.
So it's It's exciting. I'm excited about it now, but it is something that I'm working towards because obviously I want to go into comedy and things like that.
Oh, so
being
exciting.
On stage is more comfortable than like sat on my bed.
I think it's a good coping
with
mechanism,
a camera,
though.
Being like, hi guys, see you again.
You know? People always say that though, don't they? They say, I'd rather speak in front of 1,000 people than if I was to tell my life story to somebody across the sofa as we are now, I'd be sweating buckets. But me saying, making jokes about my mental health, making jokes about my past on stage is far easier.
Completely.
Can't dig in a bit.
Yeah. On stage is different. Even like earlier, like I've noticed my hand was trembling a little bit and I've not had any coffee or anything, but that's just anxiety.
Yeah.
I'm used to that constant low level bubble anyway.
Of course.
But yeah, it's something that's natural, but on stage it's different because you're allowing people, you're creating a space.
You're creating a bubble,
you're in
control. Rebecca Crowe is absolutely an illusion, like something that I created
it's
to make myself better.
As well,
yeah.
Which I guess for you, you have more so because you have more of a stage name as well.
Yeah, I deliberately did it.
My name
is my
name. So Katrina Darling is my first and my surname.
Yeah.
So I have no like persona.
Do you find that merges with you a lot more because of that?
I don't know. I like it in one way because it feels more authentic.
Yeah.
And I like to hold myself to shit. And
yeah.
Like, my name's all I've got in this life. And
it's always going to be yours. No one can take that from you.
Yeah, exactly. So, I think it's good, but the past can always haunt you.
Yes, girl. As we have seen from the media.
If anybody knows how to, like, get most of your Google, like, search pictures
yeah.
and things removed, hit me up. Because, Hannah. Lord, I have tried, but people have reblogged and reposted
that's it. Once
and rehosted
out of control,
and, like...
gets taken away.
It's
on another server, it's gone. It's
I mean,
lost
it was
forever.
Beautiful at the time, and I was proud of it, but
yeah.
that's, like, a different era, like... That was my
blue
period.
Yeah.
I'm not in that period anymore. It's like, it's full colour. Come on.
I feel you, girl.
Yeah.
What a bombshell to end on. You are such an interesting person, Katrina.
Oh,
I'm really
you.
Excited to listen to your podcast. You've got to do it now. I'm going to hold you
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to ring Arabella later and say, right, bitch.
Let me know how it goes.
Like,
please.
On
a bombshell. And also one final question. What would you recommend as self-care to somebody that's possibly in a similar position to you? What's your favourite? Like, it doesn't have to be like
well,
a bottle
whatever's
app, just
my
anything.
Favourite isn't always going to work
yeah.
for anybody else.
But what do you do? Just as a suggestion.
Turn the fucking TV off.
Yeah.
Because you can spend hours getting lost in somebody else's storyline and distracting yourself from your own.
Yeah.
Go in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Take a damn walk.
Mm.
Stroke some animals.
Oh.
Grow something and eat it.
I think that's a good one. I've started to grow vegetables in my garden. It's
I've
really
got some
nice
peas
to nurture
outside.
Them.
You can take some peas with
I
you.
I would love
I've got some
peas.
Catnip I've been growing.
Oh my gosh, please.
See, your little kitty can have some catnip.
Yeah.
Yes, I think actually for me, as much as I live this like champagne high flying lifestyle,
yeah.
the inside of me just wants to run away to the woods
to
and
like,
live off
nurture.
The land. So
yeah.
when you have peaceful times, be peaceful, shower every day. Even if that's all you've got the energy to do, shower, put clean clothes on, brush your hair, brush your teeth, don't be a cunt.
Don't be a cunt. Amen, sister.
I think Kathy Burke said that.
Did
something
she?
Along the lines of that. One of my favourite quotes.
I love it. So, Katrina, where can we find you online?
Online at Katrina Darling on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And I think on Facebook, my page is Katrina Darling Official.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on YouTube if you just Google Katrina Darling. You can see some old performances. I've got some new shows coming
yeah
through.
What's your new shows you want to plug?
Oh god, what am I doing without even looking at my diary?
I know, it's just too much always.
Yeah, I'm always plugging about the West End. If you go on my Instagram and just follow my story,
yeah.
I usually post like every other week where I'm going to be out over the month or so.
Exciting.
So you can find me somewhere in a country near you.
Yes, amazing. Well, thank you so much for joining me and thank you for being so open and so letting me have a little insight into your life and so many helpful suggestions.
No, it's my pleasure. I think it's the best thing you can do is talk.
I think so. I fucking think so. Girl, thank you so much.
Okay, love
so much
you.
Love for you.
Bye,
thanks,
guys.
Girl.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more.
One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.